Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Of God's Word. Then Peter said, "Look, we have left what we had and followed you." So he said to them, "I assure you, there is no one who has left a house, a wife, brothers, parents, children, because of the kingdom of God, who will not receive many times more at this time an eternal life in the age to come." Father God, hide me behind the cross tonight, so you might speak to hearts, Father, as only you can. Father, I pray you'll reaffirm your truth. God, you'd speak intimately to each and every one of us, Lord, that we might leave here more equipped, greater level of obedience. Father, standing firm with all of the spiritual armor, Lord, that we would go out and be ambassadors for the kingdom, Father, that we would stand on and in your word and stay in your word faithfully, Father, to endure such tumultuous times. Father, may you alone, though, be lifted up, glorified, and exalted tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Verse 28 again. Peter said, "Look, we have left what we had and followed you." First thing that I want to share with you tonight is a question. What did you give up to follow Christ? Friends? Money? The indulgence in the sensual things of life, I won't go any farther. Feeding an unbridled passion for the world. List goes on. I don't even believe I have to pique your memory or your thought process in your own mind right now and thinking of things that tonight you've heard me say this, and I believe it's important for me to be transparent with you. If I was not a follower of Jesus Christ tonight, I would live every ounce of my being in a hedonism, in a lust for money, power, and every other vile thing you could ever imagine. You might say, how could you say that? Because I am woefully aware of the human condition apart from Christ, amen? I understand it, I recognize it, and let me just tell you, I thank God that my Father instilled in me the understanding of what I am apart from Him. And I am, again, woefully aware of my depravity, the brokenness that truly defines us apart from Him. And I'm so thankful for that. What I actually believe it does, it magnifies the grace of God. It magnifies the mercy of God. Because when I see today, for instance, we're standing out during a break, and a person had, the first week of school, had sung a song at church, a solo, and had been talking about this and was sharing and with some people, and I just happened to be there. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, I'm just in my mind, I'm thinking that. And today they came out and they were talking to others. I'm just happened to be standing within earshot, and they began to weave together these profanities with which a person who's not spiritually mature said, "There's a pastor standing right here. Can you kind of tame it down?" And she just looked over and just proceeded to land and rip. And I just said, "Hey, don't worry about me. The one that you better worry about was listening to you long before you realize I was here. I'm nobody." Out of the mouth comes the wellspring of the soul. This person, remember, had shared with all these people her singing solos at church. What do you think the representation of Christ, the steadfast standing on this person of Jesus and who you say you've been crucified with, when, what does the scripture talk about? Out of one mouth, right? You're blessing the Lord, and out of another one, you're cursing him and cursing. So we have to be careful. Because we buy into this thing as, well, they said they're Christians, so this is wonderful. I've got this new friend that said they're a Christian. It's great, isn't it? I hope that your vetting process is a little more intensive than that. Amen? Amen? Light and darkness hath no. Thank you. What does that mean? We're better than the world? No. God's called us out. So what he's done is set us on a firm foundation. And I would encourage you to do this exercise. Go to your kitchen. Sit for your children's sake more than anything. Take a chair. Stand. Have them stand on it. And then say, try to pull me up. Well, I'm 230 pounds. They're going to have a hard time. And then have them try to pull you down. Who's going to do what quicker and easier? Thank you. There's the same analogy works for us as followers of Jesus Christ. We've got to be really careful because, oh, it's just a friendship. Trust me. Oh, we're just dating. We're not considering. No, they're not a Christian. We're just dating. It's not serious. Don't ever allow your children, when they're young and under your roof, to go out with someone that's not a Christian. What's wrong with you people? I'm talking to the world right now. I'm talking to the church body. If you do it, you get what you get, mom and dad. Shame on you. And I'm going to tell you that right from the straight pit and bottom of my heart. Shame on you if you allow your child to date a non-Christian. Oh, they're only friends. You get what you get. You have no business in a relationship with a non-Christian. And that's just the plain and simple biblical truth. Because no one has a relationship with anyone that doesn't have a potential to be married if they're of the opposite sex. I'm sorry, there's... You think I was born last night. I'm sorry I wasn't. I'm not as dumb as I look, and I'm telling you, sometimes I look really dumb. But I'm not nearly as dumb as I look. I can promise you. Yeah. We could carry that conversation on a lot longer. But we won't. Don't you ever allow your child under your roof to have a close friend relationship with someone that they're not, they're only friends. Don't do it. You stick your kids on the mission field ill-equipped and you're going to get what you get. Let them hang out with your lost family members. Go ahead and do it. You will reap what you sow. As a follower of Christ, the training is in your home and you have to protect them. Our children cannot protect themselves. Church, they can't do it. You don't stick them on a mission field until they're ready to go on the mission field. You don't have anything in a sponge to wring out until what? The sponge has soaked up. You know how long it takes to do that? A long time. It is a process of growing and impressing on your children. When you send your kid to school every day, right? What's happening? You have them in an arena of people who, as you're seeing right now, down the street here, you're finding out what's going on a lot longer after you thought you knew what was going on. And what's happening? Oh, my goodness. You have no idea, do we? Until the bushes start to rattle and you start finding out, and then all of a sudden you're trying to get the cat back in the bag. Go get a cat and try to put it in a bag and find out what happens to you. Not an easy process, is it? It's really difficult. We are in a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week war, spiritually speaking. Well, Brother Jonathan, why are you classifying as that? Our what is not against... Bible verse? Or what? Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but of principalities, rulers, dark forces, and the heavenly realms. Brothers and sisters, let me welcome you to the battlefield, the spiritual one that's been going on since the Garden of Eden, and it will not stop until Jesus Christ comes back. Then if you don't recognize that, I don't know what else to say to you, but get in God's word, because if you'd been in it, you'd recognize we're in a war. And we're in a war with an enemy that never sleeps. We do. I don't know why I have these dreams. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. By the way, I used to have them too. I asked my wife, picked her up and threw her out of the bed, trying to protect her. I don't have dreams now. She says every once in a while I get up and go, where are we? Whatever. I don't remember dreams. I don't have them. I don't think I even have them much anymore. Used to. I didn't have dreams. I had night terrors. Being inside of a hole trying to dig out of it. I had some bad ones. Some real bad ones. Not anymore. God has purged that area of my life, and I thank him for it. But guess what I'm not doing anymore? I don't walk back in that arena. I don't get in front of the old Stephen Kings anymore. I don't read those books and novels like I used to. I don't watch The Little Clown with a Balloon anymore. Never did, actually, that one. Watch stuff a lot more wicked than that. See, I'm thankful, though, because I'm out of that arena, and you know what I've missed? Nothing. I've lost nothing. I haven't read or watched anything from Stephen King since I came to Christ. Thank you, Jesus. I've missed nothing. I don't know who does the Freddy Kruegers and all those other ones. I've missed nothing from them. Only movies we go to, those Christian ones we get to go to for free. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Enjoy it. It's the previews, and they get to watch them before they ever come out. And as pastors, we get to help try to make them better before they are released. I'm not missing anything by not watching the latest filth come out of Disney. From what I've heard recently, it makes me want to vomit. It makes me want to vomit. I can promise you Disney's not welcome in my home. I don't care what you think about it. You know why? Because I do not have to plunge my children's minds into a flood of dissipation. It'll happen in time when they leave my home. Amen? I don't need that. I promise you, your child will be well-rounded when you raise them to love, honor, glorify Jesus Christ in your home, and you don't feel, well, what's going to happen when they go out? Oh, I've heard that once. I heard 1,000 times. Guess what? I can promise you Satan will be ready to knock on their doors when you have equipped them and they're ready to leave the home, having been armored up in truth. Amen? I don't think I need to introduce them to it, do we? But sadly, person after person in my lifetime has told me how I'm ruining my children by not letting them experience life. So thankful for the first call I got from my son after boot camp saying, "Thank you, Daddy." I can't tell you the number of times he has thanked me for the way I raised him, including busting that bottom, AKA, also known as spanking. If you know him, he's not ruined now for it. But we trusted God to do what God is best at doing by trusting his word. And when the word says, what is it? Spare the rod, spoil the child. Get on mobile patrol and you can find out what happens when you don't discipline your children. If you know what I'm talking about, it's the intake sheets from our local celebrities with their mug shots. You think it's a joke? Hey, time after time, John sends me a picture of his friends from childhood that before we started homeschooling him with their celebrity shots. Not doing well. Raised in homes where they didn't train their children to love and serve Christ. Yes, it can happen. You can have a prodigal. Absolutely. I'm not a fool. I realize it can happen. I realize there's a lot of opportunities in my house for that, but I'm going to do what God's word trained. You know what it says? Train up a child the way they should go. When you're old, they will not depart from it. So I'm going to trust God. If one goes out there, I'll be like the prodigal son's father, friends. I will not embrace it. Well, I still love him. I'm going to let him come in the house there when they decide to do this, that, and the other. Not in my house. You're not doing that in my house. You're not going to come over to my house when you decide to live that way. No, I'm sorry, we're not going to do it. I'm going to trust what God says. I'm going to do, because I've dealt with this, church. I've had to think about this, and those who I've counseled with have heard me say this. I have had to let my kids go a million times already. You get where I'm going? Because one day when it actually has to happen, if it does, I pray it doesn't. I've trusted God in my mind already, so when that period of time, if it does come, I know what my choice has to be in order to have that home going one day when that son or daughter comes walking down that road as the prodigal son experienced. But if you never let them go, they're never coming home. Why? Because your sin will hinder it. See, I've lost nothing trusting God with truth. Nothing. But when you don't, and you make a comfortable place for sin in your home, you'll understand the horror one day. And the full weight of responsibility that you hold yourself for the sin that you cradled and cultivated and watered and embraced. Verse 29. So he said to them, I assure you, there is no one who has left a house, wife, brothers, parents, children. Second thing, if you have left everything, you've lost nothing. Interesting statement in that. No one who's left a house, wife, brothers, parents, children because of the kingdom. Brother Jonathan, what person would abandon that? You either stop that God stuff or we're done. Love you. I'm going to miss you. Mom and Dad, you don't want to hear about Jesus? I love you. I'm going to miss you and I'll be praying for you. Well, how could I abandon? You go and embrace them. Keep doing it. Keep embracing that sin. Embrace the. I couldn't abandon. Keep doing it then. You can defy God and His Word. That's your choice. I can't force you to do what God's Word says. I can only encourage you to do what the Word explicitly lays out. It's not even vague or black and white. It's black and white, black and white, black and white. There's no gray area, church and truth. I'm sorry. And I'm not apologizing either. What I'm saying is, I'm sorry you're deciding that you want to make gray areas in what is black and white, because it's the truth. And truth is what? Absolute. You want to go on your relative. I will stand here and debate you. Anybody want to talk about relative truth tonight? Come on up here. And I'm serious. I will have a debate with you toe-to-toe on this stage right now if you believe that truth is not absolute and it's relative. You know why? Because I can take this thing if truth is relative, because my truth says you are the issue. And I can justify in my own minds dispatching you into eternity, right? Right? Because if truth's relative, then there is no absolute line. And therefore, whatever the proclivity of my mind, my heart, and my emotion says is truth in my mind. You want to start talking about? I bet right off the bat, you can't do that. Well, what do you stop it? You either want absolute or you want relativism. There is not both streets. Truth is not relative, friends. We're studying it in the teens every Sunday morning. We're digging in deep with it, and I'm challenging them big time. You can ask them in every area of it. There's one thing they won't be able to say is, I was never talked to about absolute truth versus relativism in every single one of these mindsets and these spiritual theologies. I have no idea what they were. There's not one person in that classroom that will be able to say, I had no idea. As a matter of fact, I told them, when God leads me out of this classroom, you're going to own it hook, line, and sinker. And if you reject it, you will have rejected it with every essence of truth, understanding of righteousness, justice, God's character, God's person, my place in life, and everything in between, and I'll own it. You'll own it. Because that's what my obligation is as a shepherd, as someone who cares about these young people, not to leave them with this sugar daddy, cotton candy gospel presentation of everything's going to be all right. Because let me tell you one thing, without the death, burial, and resurrection and the blood of Jesus Christ being imputed, put on your account, you are lost and headed for hell. That's what the Bible says. Whether I like it or you like it, it's truth. Amen? And that's where there's this vast disparity these days in truth. Because wait a minute, the guy on TV doesn't say that. And look how much bigger his church, and look how many more people come. Yeah. I guess he's got to be right, isn't he? What did I tell you? If that was the truth, y'all would have seen me up on the steeple with a megaphone when you came here tonight with speakers out there on the street. I'd have been hanging off the steeple. Because you know what we'd have? We'd have six flags over Jesus right here. We've got an unlimited amount of area we could buy and build a mega church like never seen before. We can't do it because it's not truth. God forbid that we'd ever fall victim to the belief that God's whole desire for us is nothing but health and wealth, sunshine, bubble gums, and clear streets. It's not the truth. The truth is something quite different, isn't it? Start right off in the book of James with the first. Consider it joy when you face trials of many kinds. A picture of this right here. Why in the world, if that's God's desire for us, would Christ say, there is none of you who's left that house, wife, brothers, parents, children, because of the kingdom? What does that tell you? That tells you right there, it's going to cost you. That means there's going to be people that have to leave their entire families for truth. Can you imagine? Can you imagine your wife or your husband? I've dealt with this here. It's either me or God. It's what this is referencing. Well, ultimately, I know Jesus died for me. The same way that I say I don't like having Easter egg hunts at church on Easter Sunday morning. When the Easter bunny dies for me, he'll get a day too. It's Jesus Day. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You do that at home, that's great. But I want to tell you one thing. Do you know what my greatest desire is at Longview Baptist Church? That Christ Jesus is preeminent. And what that means is, he is un numero uno, number one. I loved having that fall festival. It was awesome. But you know what's great? That's not the means by which we try to reel him in. Let's set the hook out there with candy and the bounce house and cotton candy and no. Because what happens is eventually you run out of that. You want them to come here because they want Jesus and they want more of him. Because what's going to happen ultimately is they're going to fall in love with Jesus, then we're going to fellowship with the right heart, the right intentions, the right motivations. They're not going to care that we don't have some orchestra up here and some custom beautiful smoke and mirrors, lights, and all the trappings of entertainment. And as we have the Christmas plays and all the different things that we have, and God grows us in these things, you know what? They're here for Jesus, so those are just, it's icing on the cake. It's not the motivation and reason they're coming. I call it, ready? You open up back, I don't see it anymore. I really don't get a newspaper. But years ago, I've always been a car person. Years ago, every car, I studied them. I could tell you driving down the road, front or back, what a car was, almost to the year model. You'd open it up and it'd say, hey, brand new Toyota trucks were $59.99. Anybody remember those? The Toyota that had the, all that motor, you couldn't kill them. Oh, we got some car people in here. Come on. Oh, Bruce, please. You don't know that motor Toyota had that was indestructible? Come on, Andrew, stop it. They're still running. They've run for millions of miles. The one motor Toyota made that you could not... What was the name of it? The four-cylinder. The four-cylinder that Toyota made that was in... Oh, my goodness. Y'all got to repent. The Toyota truck that had that motor in it, I'll have it on Sunday morning. It was the whatever motor. It was the blah, blah, blah motor. Sorry. It's, no. Yes. Thank you. We're getting ready to do mental assessments on every one of you. Jessica, come on. Starting with me. I already admit that I'm losing it. It's a long time ago. But they had these trucks for $59.99. Brand new. Brand spanking new. They were actually ones you could go buy, but now, then they started going 10 years later. I was working in 1993 at Hayes Mitsubishi. The Hilux, those are good ones. They had, listen, the R, it's coming. It's the R. But 10 years later, when I was working at Hayes Mitsubishi, they would put these cars in the ads. And they would put a price on there. And then, I was 17 years old. They had to get a variance at the dealership to let me sell cars because you're supposed to spend $18 billion insurance. They got a variance to have me there. These will come in looking for cars. I want this car. Oh, we just sold it. But let me show you what we got. Man calls one day, says, hey, y'all have a Volkswagen Carmagia. I put the phone on hold, go to my sales manager. Hey, do we have a Volkswagen Carmagia here? Oh, yeah, we got one. Great. Yes, sir, we have one. I'll be right there. I've been looking for one. Go back. Hey, where's that at? I'll go ahead and pull it up and get it washed and stuff. He said, we don't have one. I said, you just told me to tell the guy I don't have his phone number. He goes, sell him something else when he gets here. I'm not joking. I don't know how I sold 40 cars my first month. Thank you, sir. 22R. Thank you, Lord. We got one getting in the book here. Oh, there we go. But listen, that right there is what it's called bait and switch. Don't be playing a bait and switch with Jesus. You better be in, and you better be solid, and you better know what you believe, because I want to promise you, if you have children, they're going to be what you are, or they're going to be what you're not. Tonight, you're establishing in your children a legacy, whether you like it or not. Do you realize there's representation of Jesus Christ, that woman today, not realizing it? Imagine if I was one of those five unchurched people that were standing there having heard her talk about her and her pastor, real good friends and all that, sat there today with a string of vileness coming out unashamedly with no qualms about that language. If you've left everything, not only have you lost nothing, but tonight, who are you? What have you left? What have you lost? What do you need to lose? Then we're finished. Ready? Verse 30. You've left children, kingdom, who will not receive many times more at this time and the eternal life in the age to come. Third and final thing, when we come to Christ, we gain true life. We gain true life. All those years ago, riding around on four-wheelers, riding through the creeks, coolers full of beer and the fun and all those things, and going to races down in Talladega and doing all this stuff with people who had money. I had cars and boats, I had an airplane, I had all these things and jet skis. I had it, you name it, I had one or more. I had it. I had all the fun anybody could ever want to have. Going to Nashville and running around in the middle of the night, hanging out with friends at just foolishness. The thought of what life would be not doing that used to nauseate me, the thought of having to live the normal life that Christians did. Now, you could not pay me right now to leave church, get in a car, and go to Nashville. Not only could I not stay awake, there is nothing of that life that I want anything to do with in my old life. Nothing. What God took from me, I lost nothing. I gained everything. When I wake up tomorrow morning and sit in front of one of these kids at our house, I say, is the funniest thing that God ever stuck two legs on. This morning, I left. I couldn't say it without laughing because the little fella's so funny. I finally, laughing, said, I have to go. I got to get out of here. I can't stop laughing. I'm not going to be hungover. I'm not going to worry about what I did. I'm not going to worry like that Raiders guy did at 147 or 56 miles an hour today, hitting and killing that woman and her dog out in Las Vegas. Used to be a football player in a brand new Corvette. Hit her. The airbag came out at 147, I heard. I don't have to worry what I did last night at a 0.16 something blood alcohol level. I don't have to worry about that tonight. I don't have to worry that something's going to go wrong when I'm over at a house with people that I shouldn't be, hiding whatever I'm doing from someone else, and someone else's spouse is going to come home and they're going to have one and walk in the house, as you see over and over and over again happen. All of a sudden, your number's called. I don't have to worry that somebody that I've been messing around with, it's a sting operation, and you're going to be down there trying to explain why you just got picked up for what? Just like a pastor from Florida did last week at a brand new church plant. That's all I'll say about that. It's nice not to have to live wondering when the boogeyman's going to pop out from behind the next corner. Isn't it? But if not, maybe tonight, you need to get some things in your life straight so you stop having to worry about the boogeyman that's going to pop out. And you're worried about it right now because you realize that the boogeyman's in a lot of places you're in. You know what? If you'll get your life right, Christ, with the Lord, and you'll remove all these places that the enemy's going to be able to, yep, he'll attack. But you'll be able to realize you've got nothing lost in the mundane life as a follower of Christ, sold out to his plans and purposes. And you're going to realize that when God either blesses you by being able to have children, or maybe God has you do with us, and with us, the ones we have, or the ones the doctor said not to have anymore could hurt her. So you know what? Maybe God sends you a tribe of ones that you're going to love just as much as if they were born from you physically. But you're going to be ready, prepared to do what it is that God wants you to do. Because you decided tonight to put down what's preventing you from being able to do that and start preparing the field, starting with the heart. Because if the heart's not there, the field will never be ready for it. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, tonight for your word. God, thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust Him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask Him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for Him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.